The Shepherd of Hermas, Part 6, Mandate 7. Fear the Lord, saith he, and keep his commandments. So keeping the commandments of God, thou shalt be powerful in every deed, and thy doing shall be incomparable. For whilst thou fearest the Lord, thou shalt do all things well. But this is the fear wherewith thou ought to be afraid, and thou shalt be saved. But fear not the devil, for if thou fear the Lord, thou shalt be master over the devil, for there is no power in him. For in whom is no power, neither is there fear of him, but in whom power is glorious, of him is fear likewise. For every one that hath power hath fear, whereas he that hath no power is despised of all. But fear thou the works of the devil, for they are evil. While then thou fearest the Lord, thou wilt fear the works of the devil, and wilt not do them, but abstain from them. Fear, therefore, is of two kinds. If thou desire to do evil, fear the Lord, and thou shalt not do it. If again thou desire to do good, fear the Lord, and thou shalt do it. Therefore the fear of the Lord is powerful and great and glorious. Fear the Lord, then, and thou shalt live unto him. Yea, and as many of them that keep his commandments as shall fear him, shall live unto God. Wherefore, sir, say I, didst thou say concerning those that keep his commandments, they shall live unto God? Because, saith he, every creature feareth the Lord, but not every one keepeth his commandments. Those then that fear him and keep his commandments, they have life unto God. But they that keep not his commandments have no life in them. Mandate 8. I told thee, saith he, that the creatures of God are twofold, for temperance also is twofold. For in some things it is right to be temperate, but in other things it is not right. Make known unto me, sir, say I, in what things it is right to be temperate, and in what things it is not right. Listen, saith he, be temperate as to what is evil, and do it not, but be not temperate as to what is good, but do it. For if thou be temperate as to what is good, so as not to do it, thou committest a great sin. But if thou be temperate as to what is evil, so as not to do it, thou doest great righteousness. Be temperate, therefore, in abstaining from all wickedness, and do that which is good. What kinds of wickedness, sir, say I, are they from which we must be temperate and abstain? Listen, saith he, from adultery and fornication, from the lawlessness of drunkenness, from wicked luxury, from many viands and the costliness of riches, and vaunting and haughtiness and pride, and from falsehood and evil speaking and hypocrisy, malice and all blasphemy. These works are the most wicked of all in the life of men. From these works, therefore, the servant of God must be temperate and abstain, for he that is not temperate so as to abstain from these cannot live unto God. Listen, then, to what follows upon these. Why, are there still other evil deeds, sir, say I? Aye, saith he, there are many, from which the servant of God must be temperate and abstain. Theft, falsehood, deprivation, false witness, avarice, evil desire, deceit, vainglory, boastfulness, and whatever things are like unto these. Thinkest thou not that these things are wrong? Yea, very wrong, saith he, for the servants of God. In all these things he that serveth God must exercise temperance. Be thou temperate, therefore, and refrain from all these things, that thou mayest live unto God, and be enrolled among those who exercise self-restraint in them. These, then, are the things from which thou shouldst restrain thyself. Now hear, saith he, the things in which thou shouldst not exercise self-restraint, but do them. Exercise no self-restraint in that which is good, but do it. Sir, say I, show me the power of the good also, that I may walk in them and serve them, that doing them it may be possible for me to be saved. Hear, saith he, the works of the good likewise, which thou must do, and toward which thou must exercise no self-restraint. First of all, there is faith, fear of the Lord, love, concord, words of righteousness, truth, patience. Nothing is better than these in the life of men. If a man keep these and exercise not self-restraint from them, he becomes blessed in his life. Hear now what follow upon these: to minister to widows, to visit the orphans and the needy, to ransom the servants of God from their afflictions, to be hospitable, for in hospitality benevolence from time to time has a place, to resist no man, to be tranquil, to show yourself more submissive than all men, to reverence the aged, to practice righteousness, to observe brotherly feeling, to endure injury, to be long-suffering, to bear no grudge, to exhort those who are sick at soul, not to cast away those that have stumbled from the faith, but to convert them and put courage into them, to reprove sinners, not to oppress debtors and indigent persons, and whatsoever actions are like these. Do these things, saith he, seem to thee to be good? Why, what, sir, say I, can be better than these? Then walk in them, saith he, and abstain not from them, and thou shalt live unto God. Keep this commandment, therefore: if thou do good, and abstain not from it, thou shalt live unto God. Yea, and all shall live unto God who act so. And again, if thou do not evil, and abstain from it, thou shalt live unto God. Yea, and all shall live unto God who shall keep these commandments, and walk in them. Mandate 9. He saith to me, remove from thyself a doubtful mind, and doubt not at all whether to ask of God, saying within thyself, how can I ask thing of the Lord and receive it, seeing that I have committed so many sins against him? Reason not thus, but turn to the Lord with thy whole heart, and ask of him nothing wavering, and thou shalt know his exceeding compassion, that he will surely not abandon thee, but will fulfill the petition of thy soul. For God is not as men who bear a grudge, but himself is without malice, and hath compassion on his creatures. Do thou, therefore, cleanse thy heart from all the vanities of this life, and from the things mentioned before, and ask of the Lord, and thou shalt receive all things, and shalt lack nothing of all thy petitions, if thou ask of the Lord nothing wavering. But if thou waver in thy heart, thou shalt surely receive none of thy petitions. For they that waver towards God, these are the doubtful-minded, and they never obtain any of their petitions. But they that are complete in the faith make all their petitions trusting in the Lord, and they receive, because they ask without wavering, nothing doubting. For every doubtful-minded man, if he repent not, shall hardly be saved. Cleanse therefore thy heart from doubtful-mindedness, and put on faith, for it is strong, and trust God that thou wilt receive all thy petitions which thou askest. And if after asking anything of the Lord, thou receive thy petitions somewhat tardily, be not of doubtful mind, because thou didst not receive the petition of thy soul at once. For assuredly it is by reason of some temptation, or some transgression of which thou art ignorant, that thou receivest thy petition so tardily. Do thou therefore cease not to make thy soul's petition, and thou shalt receive it. But if thou grow weary and doubt as thou askest, blame thyself and not him that giveth unto thee. See to this doubtful-mindedness, for it is evil and senseless, and uprooteth many from the faith, yea, even very faithful and strong men. For indeed this doubtful-mindedness is a daughter of the devil, and worketh great wickedness against the servants of God. Therefore despise doubtful-mindedness, and gain the mastery over it in everything, clothing thyself in faith, which is strong and powerful. For faith promiseth all things, accomplisheth all things. But doubtful-mindedness, as having no confidence in itself, fails in all the works which it doth. Thou seest then, saith he, that faith is from above in the Lord, and hath great power, but doubtful-mindedness is an earthly spirit from the devil, and hath no power. Do thou therefore serve that faith which hath power, and hold aloof from the doubtful-mindedness which hath no power, and thou shalt live unto God, yea, and all those shall live unto God who are so minded. Mandate 10. Put away sorrow from thyself, saith he, for she is the sister of doubtful-mindedness and of angry temper. How, sir, say I, is she the sister of these? For angry temper seems to me to be one thing, doubtful-mindedness another, sorrow another. Thou art a foolish fellow, saith he, and perceiveth not that sorrow is more evil than all the spirits, and is most fatal to the servants of God, and beyond all the spirits destroys a man, and crushes out the Holy Spirit, and yet again saves it. I, sir, say I, am without understanding, and I understand not these parables, for how it can crush out and again save, I do not comprehend. Listen, saith he, those who have never investigated concerning the truth, nor inquired concerning the Deity, but have merely believed, and have been mixed up in business affairs, and riches, and heathen friendships, and many other affairs of this world, as many, I say, as devote themselves to these things, comprehend not the parables of the Deity, for they are darkened by these actions, and are corrupted, and become barren. As good vineyards, when they are treated with neglect, are made barren by the thorns and weeds of various kinds, so men, who after they have believed, fall into these many occupations which were mentioned before, lose their understanding, and comprehend nothing at all concerning righteousness. For if they hear concerning the Deity and truth, their mind is absorbed in their occupations, and they perceive nothing at all. But they that have the fear of the Lord, and investigate concerning Deity and truth, and direct their heart towards the Lord, perceive and understand everything that is said to them more quickly, because they have the fear of the Lord in themselves. For where the Lord dwelleth, there too is great understanding. Cleave therefore unto the Lord, and thou shalt understand and perceive all things. Hear now, senseless man, saith he, how sorrow crusheth out the Holy Spirit, and again saveth it. When the man of doubtful mind sets his hand to any action, and fails in it owing to his doubtful-mindedness, grief at this entereth into the man, and grieveth the Holy Spirit, and crusheth it out. Then again, when angry temper cleaveth to a man concerning any matter, and he is much embittered, again sorrow entereth into the heart of the man that was ill-tempered, and he is grieved at the deed which he hath done, and repenteth that he did evil. This sadness, therefore, seemeth to bring salvation, because he repented at having done the evil. So both the operations sadden the spirit. First, the doubtful mind saddens the spirit, because it succeeded not in its business, and the angry temper again, because it did what was evil. Thus both are saddening to the Holy Spirit, the doubtful mind and the angry temper. Put away, therefore, from thyself sadness, and afflict not the Holy Spirit that dwelleth in thee, lest haply he intercede with God against thee, and depart from thee. For the Spirit of God, that was given unto this flesh, endureth not sadness, neither constraint. Therefore, clothe thyself in cheerfulness, which hath favor with God always, and is acceptable to him, and rejoice in it. For every cheerful man worketh good, and thinketh good, and despiseth sadness. But the sad man is always committing sin. In the first place, he committeth sin, because he grieveth the Holy Spirit, which was given to the man being a cheerful spirit. And in the second place, by grieving the Holy Spirit, he doth lawlessness, in that he doth not intercede with, neither confess unto God. For the intercession of a sad man hath never at any time power to ascend to the altar of God. Wherefore, say I, doth not the intercession of him that is saddened ascend to the altar? Because, saith he, sadness is seated at his heart. Thus, sadness, mingled with the intercession, doth not suffer the intercession to ascend pure to the altar. For as vinegar, when mingled with wine in the same vessel, hath not the same pleasant taste, so likewise sadness, mingled with the Holy Spirit, hath not the same intercession. Therefore, cleanse thyself from this wicked sadness, and thou shalt live unto God. Yea, and all they shall live unto God, who shall cast away sadness from themselves, and clothe themselves in all cheerfulness. Mandate 11. He showed me men seated on a couch, and another man seated on a chair. And he saith to me, Seest thou those that are seated on the couch? I see them, sir, say I. These, saith he, are faithful, but he that sitteth on the chair is a false prophet, who destroyeth the mind of the servants of God. I mean, of the doubtful-minded, not of the faithful. These doubtful-minded ones then come to him as to a soothsayer, and inquire of him what shall befall them. And he, the false prophet, having no power of a divine spirit in himself, speaketh with them according to their inquiries, and according to the lusts of their wickedness, and filleth their souls as they themselves wish. For being empty himself, he giveth empty answers to empty inquirers. For whatever inquiry may be made of him, he answereth according to the emptiness of the man. But he speaketh also some true words, for the devil filleth him with his own spirit, if so be he shall be able to break down some of the righteous. So many, therefore, as are strong in the faith of the Lord, clothed with the truth, cleave not to such spirits, but hold aloof from them. But as many as are doubters, and frequently change their minds, practice soothsaying like the Gentiles, and bring upon themselves greater sin by their idolatries. For he that consulteth a false prophet on any matter is an idolater, and emptied of the truth, and senseless. For no spirit given of God needeth to be consulted, but having the power of deity, speaketh all things of itself, because it is from above, even from the power of the divine spirit. But the spirit which is consulted, and speaketh according to the desires of men, is earthly and fickle, having no power, and it speaketh not at all, unless it be consulted. How then, sir, say I, shall a man know who of them is a prophet, and who a false prophet? Hear, saith he, concerning both the prophets, and I shall tell thee, so shalt thou test the prophet and the false prophet. By his life test the man that hath the divine spirit. In the first place, he that hath the divine spirit, which is from above, is gentle and tranquil and humble-minded, and abstaineth from all wickedness and vain desire of this present world, and holdeth himself inferior to all men, and giveth no answer to any man when inquired of, nor speaketh in solitude. For neither doth the Holy Spirit speak when a man wisheth him to speak, but the man speaketh then when God wisheth him to speak. When then the man who hath the divine spirit cometh into an assembly of righteous men, who have faith in a divine spirit, and intercession is made to God by the gathering of those men, then the angel of the prophetic spirit, who is attached to him, filleth the man, and the man, being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaketh to the multitude according as the Lord willeth. In this way, then, the spirit of the deity shall be manifest. This, then, is the greatness of the power, as touching the spirit of the deity of the Lord. Hear now, saith he, concerning the earthly and vain spirit, which hath no power, but is foolish. In the first place, that man who seemeth to have a spirit exalteth himself, and desireth to have a chief place. And straightway he is impudent, and shameless, and talkative, and conversant in many luxuries and in many other deceits, and receiveth money for his prophesying. And if he receiveth not, he prophesieth not. Now, can a divine spirit receive money and prophesy? It is not possible for a prophet of God to do this, but the spirit of such prophets is earthly. In the next place, it never approacheth an assembly of righteous men, but avoideth them, and cleaveth to the doubtful-minded and empty, and prophesieth to them in corners, and deceiveth them, speaking all things in emptiness, to gratify their desires. For they too are empty, whom it answereth. For the empty vessel, placed together with the empty, is not broken, but they agree one with the other. But when he comes into an assembly full of righteous men who have a spirit of deity, and intercession is made from them, that man is emptied, and the earthly spirit fleeth from him in fear, and that man is struck dumb, and is altogether broken in pieces, being unable to utter a word. For if you pack wine or oil into a closet, and place an empty vessel among them, and again desire to unpack the closet, the vessel which you place there empty, empty in like manner you will find it. Thus also the empty prophets, whenever they come unto the spirits of righteous men, are found just such as they came. I have given thee the life of both kinds of prophets. Therefore test, by his life and works, the man who says that he is moved by the Spirit. But do thou trust the Spirit that cometh from God, and hath power. But in the earthly and empty spirit put no trust at all, for in it there is no power, for it cometh from the devil. Listen then to the parable which I shall tell thee. Take a stone, and throw it up to heaven. See if thou canst reach it. And again, take a squirt of water, and squirt it up to heaven. See if thou canst bore through the heaven. How, sir, say I, can these things be? For both these things which thou hast mentioned are beyond our power. Well then, saith he, just as these things are beyond our power, so likewise the earthly spirits have no power, and are feeble. Now, take the power which cometh from above. The hail is a very small grain, and yet when it falleth on a man's head, what pain it causeth. Or, again, take a drop which falls on the ground from the tiles, and bores through the stone. Thou seest, then, that the smallest things from above, falling on the earth, have great power. So likewise, the divine spirit coming from above is powerful. The spirit, therefore, trust, but from the other, hold aloof. Mandate 12. He saith to me, remove from thyself all evil desire, and clothe thyself in the desire which is good and holy. For clothed with this desire, thou shalt hate the evil desire, and shalt bridle and direct it as thou wilt. For the evil desire is wild, and only tamed with difficulty. For it is terrible, and by its wildness is very costly to men, more especially if a servant of God get entangled in it, and have no understanding. He is put to fearful costs by it. But it is costly to such men as are not clothed in the good desire, but are mixed up with this life. These men, then, it hands over to death. Of what sort, sir, say I, are the works of the evil desire which hands men over to death? Make them known to me, that I may hold aloof from them. Listen, saith he, through what works the evil desire bringeth death to the servants of God. Before all, is desire for the wife or husband of another, and for extravagance of wealth, and for many needless dainties, and for drinks and other luxuries, many and foolish. For even luxury is foolish and vain for the servants of God. These desires, then, are evil, and bring death to the servants of God. For this evil desire is a daughter of the devil. Ye must therefore abstain from the evil desires, that so abstaining ye may live unto God. But as many as are mastered by them, and resist them not, are done to death utterly, for these desires are deadly. But do thou clothe thyself in the desire of righteousness, and having armed thyself with the fear of the Lord, resist them. For the fear of the Lord dwelleth in the good desire. If the evil desire shall see thee armed with the fear of God, and resisting itself, it shall flee far from here, and shall no more be seen of thee, being in fear of thine arms. Do thou therefore, when thou art crowned for thy victory over it, come to the desire of righteousness, and deliver to her the victor's prize which thou hast received, and serve her according as she herself desireth. If thou serve the good desire, and art subject to her, thou shalt have power to master the evil desire, and subject her according as thou wilt.
I would fain know, sir, say I, in what ways I ought to serve the good desire.
Listen, saith he, practice righteousness and virtue, truth and fear of the Lord, faith and gentleness, and as many good deeds as are like unto these. Practicing these, thou shalt be well pleasing as a servant of God, and shalt live unto him. Yea, and every one who shall serve the good desire shall live unto God. So he completed the 12 commandments, and he saith to me, Thou hast these commandments, walk in them, and exhort thy hearers that their repentance may become pure for the rest of the days of their life. This ministration which I give thee, fulfill thou with all diligence to the end, and thou shalt effect much, for thou shalt find favor among those who are about to repent, and they shall obey thy words. For I will be with thee, and will compel them to obey thee.